A happy candidate day indeed for the Edmonton Elks and their quarterback, Trey Ford, as they go into Hamilton and pick up their first win of the season. The Edmonton Elks, they knock off the Hamilton Tiger Cats 29-25, a comeback win. And what a game it was. This team has been improving every week, and they find a way to get it done tonight. This is the Green and Gold Post Game Show. Matthew Wanick, Jeff Walker with you here, as there's lots to get to over the next hour as we break down this game. We had the Jeff Walker lock of the night earlier. He had Elks 24-16. That's pretty darn close there, Jeff. You got the team right, and the score was pretty darn close. Well done. Your thoughts on the game?
I'm kind of in shock. I'm kind of in shock still, but I'm so excited. Like, I can hardly sit on this chair, Matt. I don't know if I really thought the Elks were going to be able to pull this game out, whether or not that was me just being a fanboy at the beginning of the game or whatnot. But they played a great game. You know, like, I was talking to you about it while we were watching the game, that I don't think I really saw anything in the Elks game that was terrible tonight. Everything was really good. The defense was playing great in the second half. Trey Ford, he looked like a really good quarterback out there. Yeah, he missed some passes, but let's be real. This is his first game in the CFL. It's his first start ever. He's not going to be throwing all the balls as sharp as ever as somebody that's been out there doing it for 5 or 6 years or whatnot. So, like, overall, I think the Elks played a really good game. I am going to say I think Hamilton kind of gave it to them a little bit in the second half, but that's what we've been seeing out of Hamilton all year long. That's the team that they are. But hey, you know what? Let's take Hamilton right out of it. The Elks played a great game. First win of the year. Canada Day. What a game. What a great game. That was a great way to spend my Friday Canada Day, Matt.
A lot of people already texting in. Jensen can't say all the words, but holy, what an amazing win. The Edmonton Football Club is back. Let's go. Jensen, I had to slowly read that one because I couldn't read probably half of the words that Jensen sent in there. KM says, more on a four, please. Exciting game for Edmonton. And there's a lot to get to when it comes to Trey Ford. And we will get to Trey Ford throughout the next hour here on the show. But I think this is what we've seen from this Elks team and from Chris Jones is kind of what I was expecting for the team this year. Every week we're going to see them improve. Every week we're going to see them get better. Every week we're going to see them understand the Chris Jones model and come together and play. And in the end, the thing I will still take away from is the players aren't there. There are still some players where this team lacks playmakers or just that those extra special players that are ultimately going to be the team that puts you into a Grey Cup spot. That's going to eventually come as this Elks behind the scenes with Chris Jones, with G.R. Simon, with their scouts, go find players, and they get through other free agencies to bring in some other players. But for now, you know, that BC game, it's pretty clear that's an anomaly. It's pretty clear we could set that aside and just go, it wasn't there. Because everything we've seen from this team against Saskatchewan, against Calgary, and against Hamilton is week in and week out, this team's going to be somewhat competitive. This team is going to be in those games. And you can't count out the Edmonton Elks. We saw a defense day. Thomas Costigan of the defensive line was on with Lotine and Jamison this week. And he said they just got to, as a defensive unit, start gelling. They just got to get some more snaps in so they can start gelling. And when that happens, they'll start making plays. And tonight, we saw them make those plays. We saw two interceptions. We saw the scoop and score to put this team on top. We saw them get pressure. Like, Jeff, all year, we've now seen four games, particularly in the second half. This Elks defensive line was getting to Dane Evans. This defensive line of the Edmonton Elks was causing problems for Dane Evans and either getting sacks or getting the pressure, forcing him to make decisions. And that's led to, you know, then the offense, you look at what they were doing. And Trey Ford today, let's break it down with what we saw from him. First career start, as Jeff said. Had his moments where you would think, yeah, he'd like to have different plays. You know, he throws the interception at the end of the first half, just a little hair under it, and it gets picked off in his throw to Darrell Walker. A few other times, you look at the accuracy and go, I don't know. But then, a lot of this game, though, he made good decisions with the football. He made the right reads. He made some really good throws. And he also used his legs well. He went and he ran at the times you wanted him to. When Jeff and I have been doing post game shows last few, while we're watching games, there'd be moments where, you know, you'd sit there and go, run, Nick Arbuckle, run. Like, start moving your legs, get out of the pocket, or there's a first down, go. Today, Trey Ford saw those opportunities and he went. And I don't think, like, sometimes you get those young quarterbacks in who are mobile and they just want to run first. They look to the run first because that's what they know. I don't think we saw that from Trey Ford. We saw a guy who looked for the pass first. We saw the guy looking to be the quarterback first, look through his reads, look through his progressions, see if a guy's there. And when it wasn't there, or when he saw the breakdown in the defense, then use his legs. If there's one thing we need to see better from him, though, you better start sliding more. Well, he liked going for the extra yards. He liked trying to get that extra 3-4 yards. No. We saw him make Simone Lawrence look bad on one of those plays. He was great, like juked him out of his shoes almost. But after that one's fine. But after that, go down. You don't have to always fight for those extra yards. You need to stay healthy. But Trey Ford, he looked really good. And in the end, I think when you look at him, like today, I was worried about going him. I said I would start Nick Arbuckle. I was wrong. There's a reason I'm not Chris Jones. There's a reason I'm not the head coach of this team. He sees him in practice. He knows. And he wasn't overwhelmed. And this is a guy this team could eventually win from. I think you could look at that. You look at Trey Ford and you see a guy there that with the right development, with getting more reps in, with more practice time, there's a player there. This team may have gotten that quarterback that they need moving forward.
And I all I can do is agree with you on everything that you said there, Matt. And it was unbelievable watching him go through the reads as a quarterback. Like, I know we saw him miss a lot of passes, like he was just not hitting the receivers right where he wants them. But that's all stuff that's going to come in time, right? Same with the sliding. Like, yeah, I'd want to see him hook slide a little bit more. Otherwise, somebody is going to kill him out on the field. We don't need to see that. All the things that he was missing in his game tonight are all things that you learn as you get more starts in the league, right? So, you know, like, if we look at the same quarterback, say, 3 or 4 weeks down the schedule, you know what? There could be really something there. And it's good to see. And it was a complete chance that Chris Jones made, putting him in as a starter. I think everybody that heard that was kind of questioning it a little bit. But now here we are. He just got the first win of the year for the Edmonton Elks. I'm sorry. You know what? Arbuckle, I think, is going to be your backup for a long time because I think it's Trey Ford's team going forward.
I think you have to get two or three consecutive performances from Trey Ford where he looks really bad for you to want to go back to Nick Arbuckle. Nick Arbuckle's not the future of this team now. That's pretty clear. Trey Ford is. He's a first-round pick. He's a guy that is young, Canadian, exciting, versatile. You know, he can move with his legs. You go with him now. He's shown it. He's shown it tonight that he has the ability. And actually, one thing we need to note, because, you know, maybe with his passes, we're sitting there saying he would like a little accuracy. Let's also not forget, there was a win factor today. That's not something you're going to face all the time. Now, in the Canadian Football League, you face that a little bit more, you know, throughout the year. You go to Winnipeg, you go to Saskatchewan, it happens even here in Edmonton. But for the most part, you're not dealing with that as much. And so I think that has to play into it, too, that you have to sit there and go, okay, here's a rookie quarterback starting his first ever game, having to also deal with the wind. And that's going to play into some of the accuracy. Your thoughts always welcome. 10-12-60 Blair saying, OMG, have we found our QB? Good win. And I'm seeing this from one person on Twitter, which I disagree with, but saying Hamilton lost this game more than the Elks won it. And I have to disagree with that largely. You know, I'll look at the three turnovers because they were the big moments of this game where you had the two picks led to a few points and then the scoop and score for the 6 points or the 7 points that gave the Elks the lead. The first interception, okay, I'll say that's Hamilton's fault. Was that, if I'm not mistaken, that was that Hills? That might have been Hills, who tipped it up in the air and then it was picked. Okay, that one I'll put on Hamilton. You don't put the ball up in the air. The second one, interception, was just great defensive play. They got to that football and tipped it up themselves and got the interception. And then the scoop and score, I believe it was Hutter, caused the fumble. He knocked that ball out of Dane Evans, and then Collins picked it up for the touchdown. That I don't have to look at that and go, Hamilton cost themselves. I think Edmonton earned two of those three turnovers. they made those plays. And if we look at the first half, too, especially, the Elks shot themselves in the foot a lot. Like, Jeff, you and I were talking throughout this game as we're getting closer to the end, the Elks trailing, and we're sitting like, okay, well, this team, they might lose, but hey, there were some more improvements. They shot themselves in the foot. They could have walked away with the victory, and now they're not going to, but they're making those improvements. And those shooting themselves in the foot include, you know, giving up a whole bunch of errors, you know, from Ivy's 15-yard penalty to an offside, which then led to the kick return touchdown for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. You can go to Sergio Castillo missing the extra point. You can go to Trey Ford's interception at the end of the first half, that if he doesn't throw that interception, they're in field goal range, or maybe they get a couple closer, they pick up three more points. And you go, okay, the Elks are right in this. So they made their own errors too. I look at this as the Edmonton Elks came out and they found a way to get the win, and the Ticats lost in the end. I don't look at it more as the Ticats lost this one and the Edmonton Elks just benefited from them failing.
Well, and just to go further on what you're saying there too, Matt, I think I actually looked at you and I said, this looks like it's going to be another game that the Elks are going to be playing well enough to be close, but not well enough to win. And then there, Dane Evans dropped the ball with less than 2 minutes left to go. They scooped it up, ran it in there. And here we are, man. It's the first win of the season for the Elks. Definitely something that you can build off going forward. There were so many good performances in there. You don't even have all your best players in, right? Like Wilder Jr.'s not in the lineup tonight. Lacey's not in the lineup tonight. Like there's so much more that the Elks can put out on the field that, like, you can't look at that football game tonight and not be positive with that result, right? You know, like that's kind of what we've been waiting for from this team for the first couple of weeks. I'm not going to agree with the guy that said that Hamilton kind of gave it to them, because I don't think that that's what happened either. You know, like the Elks made those turnovers, right? Like it was, I'm going to get his name wrong here. I would believe it was Hutter that punched the ball out, right? And you know, like that's a play that you have to make in order to make that happen, right? So like, it's not like Dane Evans just threw it on the carpet. Right? The Elks were there. They took advantage of a weird run that they called in. Like, I don't know why Hamilton called that run like that, to be honest with you. But they took they took what they could and they turned it into a win tonight. And I'm just so excited. I can barely talk, Matt. I'm so excited that the Elks won this game, because I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure that they were going to win a game until like maybe game six or maybe game seven of the year. And the way that they pulled this one out with a rookie quarterback, people out of the lineup, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. It's great to see.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's important to get these wins at some point. And I'll draw comparisons to a degree with the soccer team in town of FC Edmonton. They're in a year where it's a mess. They don't have ownership. They're on a shoestring budget. It's not going to go well. We've had the manager on the station many times, Alan Koch. He's talked about it. And they were getting some good positive results, but they got to a point where there's only so many times you can go to the boys and talk about the moral victories, how good it was. And they got their first win just a couple of weeks ago. And we had Alan on the station. He's like, it was great to finally get that win, because it was enough of just saying, ah, you know, you guys are doing the right things. You guys are playing well. And those results are come. At some point, you just need that result. And in fact, they won today and they won two of their last three matches. For the Edmonton Elks, for Chris Jones, this is still going to be a year that's going to be difficult, I believe. This is still going to be a year where the Edmonton Elks are going to be in tough every game that they go out there. Every game that they go on the football field, they're in a tough for 60 minutes to try to get victories. I still don't look at this team as of right now and believe confidently, they're going to make the playoffs. And this is going to be a team that's going to be challenging in the playoffs. I still am going to take the approach of, this is a team that's in a rebuild, that's trying to retool. Let's get to next year and have a team that is successful and challenging next year. And so there's going to be a period of time where there's going to be a lot of losses. You go to Chris Jones back with Saskatchewan in 2016. They went 0-3, won game four. They lost every game until after Labor Day. They were 1-10 to start the year, winning that fourth game. Right now it's playing exactly the same way, losing the first three, winning game four. So there are going to be more losses to come. But Chris Jones at least has, for the players, when he talks to them in the locker room, at least they got that win off the back. At least they got that off of their shoulders. That's not a chip on their shoulder that they have to deal with. They know they got the first one won. In fact, you know, people are praising Ottawa. People are going into the season saying Ottawa is going to be a team this year that is going to compete and win the East. People have high hopes for the Hamilton Tiger Cats because they were finalists of the Grey Cup in the last two Grey Cups. Yet both those teams don't have a win this year. The Edmonton Elks at least have one win this year. And that's going to be so good for morale of this team, even if they go through a stretch of, let's say, losing the next three games. Knowing they at least got that first win and they could build off of that as they move forward. And it things do look really good for this team, at the very least, of what they can build on. You know, what I also like is it this just shows what Chris, how good that Chris Jones is a winner. I know, Jeff, you're not the biggest Chris Jones guy, and I know there's a lot of people out there that aren't Chris Jones guys, but one, as a coach, they've improved every week. That's to Chris Jones. That's a testament to Chris Jones's coaching. That's a testament to the type of guy he is. And in terms of being a manager and building a team, him and Giroir Simon, now, look, this is their team to start the year. So it didn't start off great, and that somewhat starts them. But they're constantly making changes. They're constantly bringing players in and out, and they're trying to retool this team and find the right mix of players moving forward. And we're only 4 weeks into this, and it's getting better. Where are you right now when it comes to Chris Jones? Do you see,
that's such a tough question. You know, like, I get it. Like, oh, that's such a tough question, you know, because, like, I'm on such a high from them winning the game, you know, like, that doesn't make me 100% confident in Chris Jones.
It shouldn't completely change everything.
Yeah, definitely doesn't. But, like, I'll be honest with you. I said it a few minutes ago. Like, I didn't really expect them to get the first win of the season for a few games down the road. So, you know, the fact that they got it now, that is a really big deal for me. And, you know, the one thing that you were right about there again is that now Chris Jones has something that he can take into the locker room and say, like, look, guys, if we play the right way every single week, we have a chance to win. We had a chance to win against Saskatchewan. We had a chance to win against Calgary. We had not only had a chance to win against Hamilton, but we actually got the victory done. And it's because the guys were actually doing what they were supposed to do out on the field. Like I said, I don't think I could really pick one real big hole in the Elks lineup tonight. Like, there was a couple mistakes, don't get me wrong. Like, there's a couple things you'd probably want back, but, like, that's football. There's going to be things like that in every single football game you're going to play. How much is that Chris Jones building the team? You know what? I'm going to say quite a bit. He is the coach and GM, right? So you got to give him credit there. Am I 100% confident in Chris Jones going forward?
They're 1-3.
You know what? They're 1-3, and I want to say yes. You know what? I want to get on Team Jones. I don't think I'm there yet.
But they have three losses, right?
Like, they won a game that I might have said at the beginning of the game that I thought the Elks were going to win, but I might have been a little bit tongue-in-cheek for that one.
Don't say that now when you got it right.
But, you know, let's be honest here. Let's be honest, right? So, like, the fact that they went out and played the game they did, Trey Ford, he played the way that he did. And the defense, that's what I've been waiting for from Chris Jones, right? Because we haven't seen that run defense from the Elks this year. Like, how many teams have we seen just kind of run through the Elks? We were talking about it in the Calgary game, that Calgary should have just kept running the ball.
Yep.
Right? Because they couldn't, the Elks couldn't stop the run, right? Today was different. The defensive line was there. The linebackers were backing them up. And they looked like a team that could go out and beat just about any team in the league. I'm not saying that they can go out and beat BC yet. I'm not saying they can go out and beat Winnipeg yet, because I think they're still top of the league. But any other team out there, the Montreals, the Ottawas, you know, even Calgary and Saskatchewan haven't looked great. Like, I think all of those teams are now in a category that the Elks can beat them.
Well, okay, with Saskatchewan just a few weeks ago, this team had the lead with 5 to go. Against Calgary, they had the lead just before the third quarter. They gave it up. Now they get a win against Hamilton today, and we're going to get Calgary on Thursday. Calgary's coming off a bye week, so they're going to be nice and healthy. The Elks play today. They play next Thursday. It's a little bit of a shorter week. But, okay, let's now see who this Elks team is, because what I could gather is for 3 weeks, they've been close. Now, are those other teams lower than what I was expecting, potentially? Or are the Elks actually closer to them? And I think the Elks might be closer to them. Just a side note here for Hamilton, and we said it this in the kickoff show, they can't be feeling good right now. 0-4 to start the year? You've blown a bunch of games. Like, there's concern there, and there should be. They don't look like the finalists of the last two Grey Cups. There's some problems that they're going to need to sort out. There's no question about that. They should be pretty unpleased right now in Hamilton.
Well, and how about that weird stat that they put up on TSN about halftime there, where Hamilton's the only team to have never won on Canada Day?
Oh, yes.
They were 0-4 going into this game, and Rod Smith was all about, you know, how Hamilton, this might be the game or whatnot. Well, no, they're 0-5, right?
So, like, it wasn't.
I'm telling you, like, there was so much There was so much positivity in that game. And Matt, I don't remember the last time that I felt this way as a fan of this Edmonton football team. Right? Like last year, they got a couple of wins. Like, I get that. You know, maybe that's the last time, that Labor Day game that they beat Calgary last year. I think that's the last time that I felt excited about the Edmonton Elks.
Well, let's hope it doesn't play out that way.
Right? It doesn't play out that way. But, you know, that's
well,
how long
after
it's
after that,
been.
They didn't win.
Yeah, do I need to knock on some wood there? Is that what you're saying? Well, knock on some wood here.
Be careful with that part.
But I'm just saying, like, that's how long it's been since, as a fan of the Edmonton football team, I'm that excited with what we saw.
Well, and now it comes, okay, a big thing for this year a lot of people wanted was that home win. Now, they didn't get the home win. They got a win. They didn't get that home win. They'll get Calgary this upcoming week. Then they're on the road in Montreal. Then they're back home against Winnipeg. And then they got Saskatchewan. And then they got Ottawa. That rounds out the summer. That rounds out July and August for this year. So it might be a while till they get that home win, but who knows? Maybe they do it this next Thursday. But there's going to be an excitement going into this next game, right? Like, the Elks have been on the road for two in a row. I've only had one home game, and that home game came after a 59-15 loss. You really think people are jazzed to go to an Elks game and are pumped up after they lost 59-15 in week one? Now you get a game where you get the Battle of Alberta off of an Elks victory. Like, there's something really good to build off of as they go into that one. If we are looking at something that wasn't as good, we do have this text coming in. Fire the not-so-special teams coordinator. Run a 50-yard missed field goal. Offside, force a kickoff from your own 10-yard line. Well, that's not the coordinator's fault, the offside and all of that. That's just players. That comes down to discipline. And that's more on Chris Jones than the special teams coordinator. As for the missed field goal from 50, that has annoyed you since last year, Jeff.
I mentioned that, right? Like, there's a guy standing on the 1-yard line, and you're going to try to run it out past him. Come on. You know what? Just take a knee there and live to play another day. But you know what? Like, I'm not looking at that stuff today. I'm not looking at the negative things, right? Like, we have this one text here. They kicked field goals in a defensive turnover. This team blows. You guys are baked. You know what? You know what? I'm high on the fact that the Edmonton Elks went out and won a football game. I'm sorry if my excitement is a problem for you. But you know what? That's what we've been waiting for as fans of this team for a really, really long time. Was it the greatest football game I've ever seen an Edmonton football team play? No, it certainly wasn't. But they came out, they played hard, they won the game, and I'm going to be positive and happy about that.
I'll take some objection to some of that, though, not to what you said, to what that texter's saying there, and in this team blows. Okay, let's go through the facets of the game. Special teams is special teams. It's always going to be an issue with the Elks. It's been an issue for a long time. That needs to be better. We can all agree on that part. Let's now look defense and offense. Defensively, a large part of this game, this team played really well. When we look at, you know, 25 points were allowed today. Take 7 off the board because that was a kick return. That's special teams. That's not defense. So the Elks gave up under 20 points as a defensive unit to a Hamilton Ticats team, to a team that, again, finalists the last two Grey Cups, that have a great receiving core, that have a really good, or supposedly a really good quarterback in Dane Evans. I like Dane Evans. I think he's a good quarterback. They gave up less than 20 points. They caused 3 turnovers. They got a lot of pressure, and they sacked Dane Evans, I believe, 3 times. So defensively, they're looking pretty good tonight. Are they looking great? Are they looking like Chris Jones's defense of 2014 and 15 of the Edmonton Elks? Absolutely not. Are they looking pretty good right now? Yes. Can you say the defense blows on this team? Nope, not tonight. And now let's look at the offense. Until that final drive for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, where the Elks defense started playing soft, and they played that prevents defense, which is just the worst defense you could play, and I'm surprised Chris Jones played it that way, where they gave up quite a bit of yards. How many yards did they give up on the Ticats on that last one? That last drive, they gave up 47 net yards of offense. You take that 47 net yard of offense away, and the Edmonton Elks offense outgained the Hamilton Tiger Cats offense. Because in the end, the Ticats outgained the Elks 280 to 263. But again, they got some easy yards on that last drive. They outrushed them 130 to 105. Passing, 159 to 197. So a little bit better from the Hamilton Tiger Cats. That offense, they're good. Or like, they're not great. They're not the best in the Canadian Football League. You can't tell me that offense blows. You can't. How could you sit there and say the Edmonton Elks offense today blows with what you saw? And the texter's coming in, oh, okay, so two out of third sucks. LOL, all good. No, the offense doesn't suck. If you think the offense sucks of this Edmonton Elks team based on tonight's performance, I'm going to say you probably don't know football. It's just that simple. You can't look at that game of the offense where Trey Ford looked pretty good and what you saw. Like the running game. We haven't even gone to the running game. We're going to have to get to that next after a commercial break. They didn't have James Wilder Jr., and they did really well running that football. Like, you can't tell me that that offense blew today. Not a chance.
I think it can be sharper.
Of course.
Right? I'm going to say that. I'll admit that for sure. But, like, overall, I thought they played a great game. And I'm with you. We're going to get to the rushing after the break for sure, because we do have some shout-outs that we need to give back there, because you didn't have your number one running back in the lineup, and the two guys that went in there, they were fantastic. And then you throw Trey Ford's legs on there. Like, I believe he was the leader on the team for rushing yards tonight, right? Like, there were so many positives in that game. So if all you can see is the negatives of the team sucks in certain areas, then you know what? Either you're not a fan of the team or you didn't watch the game.
And ultimately, I don't know how many post games we're going to have of wins this year. I'm going to enjoy the positive ones when we can.
Fantastic. I'm in.
There's
right?
18 like, games this year. We've done four of them. This is the fourth post game. This is their first win. I don't know how many more of them we're going to have. When they lose, we're going to talk negatively about their bad plays. I'm going to be positive about the team today. When we come back, we got to get the least valuable player, player of the game, TSN Turning Point. We'll go through the stats of today's game. And we do got to talk about the running backs of the Edmonton Elks in the running game, because they looked really good. He's Jeff Walker. I'm Adam Wanick. The Edmonton Elks, they defeat the Hamilton Tiger Cats 29-25 on this Canada Day, led by Canadian Trey Ford. They're now 1-3 on the season after they pick up their first win of the year. You're tuned into the Green and Gold postgame show on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. The Edmonton Elks, they're 1-3 on the season after picking up their first win tonight out in Hamilton, 29-25. This is the Green and Gold postgame show. Matt Iwanek, Jeff Walker with you here. And lots of texts now starting to come in. We'll get to those. You could also text us at 10-12-60. Quickly, I want to get through the stats of tonight's game. Thank you for turning that up just a little bit.
Yeah, no problem. I thought you needed to, right? Like, come on.
Trey Ford, 15 of 26, 159 yards, a touchdown, an interception. He added six rushes for 61 yards. So all-purpose yards, you're looking at 250 yards? Dead on? I believe so. If I did my math correctly there. Andre Milan, Elitre had four carries for 34 yards. He was looking really good. Beatty, who filled in for James Wilder to start, he had six carries for 32 yards. Whenever he got the ball, he looked pretty good himself. And Kyle Loxley, that's maybe a spot we could next week maybe focus a little more on if we want to go to the negatives. Five rushes, 6 yards, one touchdown. The third yard short yardage for the Edmonton Elks doesn't exactly ooze confidence. Kenny Lawler led the way in terms of yards, four catches for 43 yards. He also had a nice touchdown, a great throw from Trey Ford, putting in the one spot that Kenny Lawler was going to be who gets the touchdown for the Elks. Darrell Walker, three catches for 38 yards. Manuel Arsenault, three for 31. Loxley, one catch for 18. Milanovic, Elitre, two catches for 14. Three sacks for the Edmonton Elks defense. While leading the way tackles-wise, two guys. Lyon and Hutter both with five, while Hutter, he also forced a fumble. When you look at the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Dane Evans, 20 of 31, 197 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. He had eight carries for 39 yards. Hills for them led the way rushing with eight carries for 40 yards. Tim White led the way receiving-wise, five catches for 81 yards, while Dunbar, he had the lone touchdown for the Tiger Cats receiving. Defensively, leading the way tackles-wise for them, Simone Lawrence and Javon Santos Knox, the former Elk, both with six tackles. Only one sack tonight that the Edmonton Elks offensive line gave up. And they also had one interception. Time of possession, Elks edging out the Ticats, 31.5 to 28.5. No James Wilder. He was placed in the sixth game. You mentioned it to me while we were watching that game, Jeff. Like, you didn't notice that James Wilder wasn't there for the Edmonton Elks tonight. The guys that filled in between Batty and Milanovic-Litra, they did a great job.
They did a fantastic job. I want to point out Litre. I didn't see him very much in the first half, but the second half, the guy was money. Every time he touched the ball, he was making a play with it. You don't see that from a fullback often these days.
Just if my memory serves correct, I feel like we saw a lot more Batty in the first half and Litre in the second half.
Yeah, you know what? And I'll agree with you on that one. But either way, they both had a great game tonight. I thought they filled in really well for Wilder Jr. Like I said, you know, and you just said right there, it seemed like we didn't really miss Wilder Jr. too much. Now, don't get me wrong. We want Wilder Jr. back in the lineup. He's one of the best running backs in the league, and he's only going to make your football team improve. But what you really want to have happen is if one of those players go down, you need people to step up and take on that role. The Elks had that, and the running game was fantastic. You put those two guys together with the legs on four tonight.
Next man up.
It was great. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Football. Well, and that's something I feel like, I know when I was on Low Tide with Jameson a few times with the Walter Fletcher trade, we've got a few texts, it's disappointing that they traded him. And every time that was brought up, I always said, you could always find running backs, though. Like, if there's one position, offense, defense, I feel like you have no problem finding someone to replace him. When you lose your starting running back, I feel like you could always find someone that's going to be good enough. Maybe you're not always going to immediately find that next solid running back who's going to be leading the league or close to leading the league like a James Wilder was close last year, a Kadeem Carey or a William Standback in Montreal. But you're going to find somebody who's going to be good enough that's going to get the job done for a bit. That the running game, you could find those guys. And we saw that tonight with the Edmonton Elks. No James Wilder. They traded Walter Fletcher. They got a sixth-round pick for him. And they have guys here that they could get the job done. Let's get in the inbox 10 at 1260. Edmonton Elks starting to believe now. The running backs, O-line, great game, letting Ford manage the offense. That one coming in from Matt. Boys, I'm pumped right now. I came in during the second half, and what I saw I liked. Gives us that glimpse of hope for the rest of the season. Big W today. Let's effing go. I was very careful saying that last part. You don't say the actual word.
No.
LFG
there is
another way you can put that one.
There's nothing to call people on that one. Nope.
That's the thing. Well, if you only watch the second half, maybe you should watch the whole game. Maybe you're the good luck charm. That's what I'll say for Thursday.
Done.
You
got
to watch
that
whole game to that texture because maybe you're the good luck charm for this team. But yeah, I think whatever you watch, even if you watch that texture, anyone watched that first half, there was a lot of good things to like. Now, there were some of those mistakes that we talked about, like Trey Ford's interception at the end, just a little underthrown. It gets picked off. I know they talked about it on the panel when they weren't dealing with Matt Dunnigan's cooking. Okay, that's our network. I'm sorry. My friend Lucas Holt, he loved what we saw. There was far too much on Matt Dunnigan's cooking. Just, it's not sponsored. What was the point of it? Why was there such a focus on Matt Dunnigan barbecuing during the game? Love Matt Dunnigan. I have his cookbook from his old show. Give me more football.
So what you're telling me is that on Wednesday on the Lowdown or Low Tide and Jameson show, you're not bringing Matt Dunnigan in here with the grill?
That would be fun, but for our 4-hour show, it's not going to be the focus of every segment. I'm sort of like bringing it up to the booth. And like if it was a sponsored thing or if there was something like he has another cookbook he's giving away or something, like it would make more sense. I didn't understand it.
Are chicken kebabs not a Canada Day food?
Well, even then it's Canada. I don't know what Matt Dunnigan barbecuing has to do for that. I'm sorry. It was like we had the Matt Dunnigan barbecue show featuring a football game. Like, I'm sorry. I had to get that off my chest a little bit there. It just didn't make much sense to me. I don't even know where I was going from that one. I just now sidetracked.
You know what? That's okay.
That
you know
me.
What? You just keep going.
Oh,
right? I like that.
Davis Sanchez and Milt Stegall, they were talking how they would have liked Darrell Walker to even respond better on that underthrown throw from Trey Ford, a little bit more of a jump from him there or getting back to the ball and not allowing the interception. So, but there was a lot of more positives to come from this team. They still made mistakes today, but we've seen mistakes every week for the first 4 weeks. And what we've seen is the game after, though, they've improved on those mistakes. They've learned from those mistakes and they keep getting a little bit better. And that's what you want to keep seeing from this team. And it gives you the hope, as that last texter said, big win today gives you hope for the rest of the season or a glimpse of hope. And that's what you should be taking away tonight, I think, if you're an Elks fan.
That's 100% what I'm taking away from this, right? You know, like, I'm not saying that this is now a Grey Cup contender, right? I don't think anybody's saying that.
Nope.
But, like, you're happy with the performance that you got from this team on the field tonight. And we've been kind of happy with the last couple of weeks, but we've also seen that they've had that that one really big mistake that has kind of soured them. And this week, they didn't have that. Like, there was a couple mistakes during the game, but not one that was going to cost them the football game. And that is the big difference from this week, from the last couple of weeks. There have been improvements. And now you're going into Calgary next week. It's going to be a home game,
yeah.
Right? Home. Like, so it's in Edmonton, and you want to win that game because you want to get a pick up a victory from home. And this is what you're going into. You were close to beating Calgary 2 weeks ago. Oh, I guess that's last week ago. And,
but at that point, it'll be 2 weeks.
Yeah, by that point, it'll be 2 weeks. So you're close to beating them already. You just polished off a Hamilton team. Like you said, they were the Grey Cup, in the Grey Cup game last year and in 2019 as well, right? So, like, it's not like this isn't a pretty good team, even though they haven't really shown it this year. You know, like, the confidence going into this game against Calgary at home should just brew this team to be kind of close to believing in themselves. And I think that's what's going to push them forward. Like I said, I'm not going to award them the Grey Cup. You know what? I was kind of joking with you that maybe they're going to get the crossover berth here because, like, they now have more wins than, like, most of the Eastern, you know, conference here.
Toronto,
right?
Montreal each have one, and Ottawa, Hamilton have none.
So there you go, right? So, like, it, you know, it's an improvement. It's a step in the right direction. I loved what I saw from the team. And if they can carry that forward, you know what? Calgary's, they can take Calgary. They can do it.
Let's continue in the inbox. 10-12-60 from the Bean Counter. Good game. Good post game. You still the commish? If that's a Nielsen Show draft, of course I'm still the commish. Why wouldn't I be? There's no question.
Oh, there was some talk
about
you being removed for, you know, some ruling or something like that.
No, Dustin lost the draft, and then he started whining and complaining, and he drew the good name of the Nielsen Show draft through the mud because he was upset that there's a new dynasty on the table. Lieutenant Eric won. And because of that, he will be punished. And he has been, there will be a fine. He will lose a draft pick in the next draft. That was announced.
Ooh,
I announced that already. It was, but so I'm not, me step down as commissioner. Of course I'm still commish. I'm a great commissioner. I keep that thing going. It's that simple. So, of course, I'm still there.
Well, next draft, I'm going to bring in the grill, and I'll be grilling behind
please,
the scenes.
I'll say, Dustin was just upset that he lost, and he needs to grow up. He needs to get over it. And I said that to him on the show yesterday, so this isn't just something I'm just going behind his back. Phil, from a balcony in Banff. Hey, guys, two questions. Did Trey Ford's performance earn him another start next week? If James Wilde returns next week, does that impact question one? Happy Canada Day. Happy Canada Day to you, Phil. I enjoy being in Banff. What a great place to celebrate Canada
Day. I think
he's
usually from Jasper in a balcony.
No, he's a balcony in Banff or Bears Paw.
Okay.
I don't know where Bears Paw is. Is that by Jasper?
I'm not sure about that. I thought he was
I think that's in BC and stuff.
Sorry, Phil.
But that's where Phil's usually from. Trey Ford's your starting quarterback right now. Like, it's not even a question right now. He goes out, he wins, he looks really good. You made a good point in what you were just saying in that Nick Arbuckle makes that mistake that costs you the game. That's what we've saw. And it comes at the moment where it costs you the game. Trey Ford made mistakes today, but it wasn't in the moments that cost you the game. It wasn't at that decisive in the moment. Okay, this was the turning point. We still have to get to those, but it wasn't that turning point where, okay, well, this is what turned the tide. That's what you got from Nick Arbuckle. Plus, moving forward, like, with how quickly Chris Jones went to Trey Ford in week one, and then how quickly he gave him the starting role this week, unless Trey Ford puts together a couple of performances that are just absolutely horrendous, I don't see why he wouldn't be the starting quarterback now for the rest of this season. That you wouldn't just go with him and Nick Arbuckle is the backup. Maybe we see Nick Arbuckle during games. Sure. Maybe there's packages for him. Maybe there's, if Trey Ford's, you know, being a little rattled or you're seeing the rookie quarterback come out, they go to Nick Arbuckle. But I think it's going to require a couple of back-to-back, maybe even back-to-back-to-back poor performances from Trey Ford for him to lose the starting role. As for James Wilder, it's a shoulder injury, shoulder neck, and he's on the sixth game. So I wouldn't expect him back necessarily right away. And that could all change. It's football. They throw people on six games and can pull them off early sometimes. It just impacts the salary cap. We'll have to wait and see. But it was a late injury that was announced this week, so we'll have to wait and see. But I wouldn't be right now expecting him back. But as for Trey Ford, he absolutely earned the start next week. And right now, I would say he's the starter of this team moving forward. Jeff, what did you
think? Oh, 100%. Like, he earned it, right? Like, he went out there and let's remember, the guy's only had three snaps in the CFL before that. And one of those snaps led to an interception. And he walked out onto the field today, and he looked like he belonged there. He was making the throws when he had to. we kind of talked about it earlier that there was a couple of throws that were maybe just a little bit off or whatnot. You know, receivers were kind of reaching for them, you know, a couple of overthrows or whatnot. But you know what? That's going to happen. Like, he's a brand new quarterback in the league. Those are going to come out of his game. At least you're going to hope that they're going to come out of his game. And he's going to learn a little bit more as he goes. And the only way that you're going to learn now is by playing the game. And I don't see any reason why you need to pull him out of the game. Now, let's say he plays the next like three, four games, and he's not as good. Maybe, you know, something happens. He starts to throw picks or whatever the case is. Then you reevaluate the situation. But until that happens, he's your go-to guy now. Nick Arbuckle is going to be your backup quarterback. Yeah, you're right. You know what? Get him in there. Maybe make some packages for him when he's out on the field. But when it comes to who is starting the game, there should be no question now. Trey Ford is the man.
We got to get to our TSN Turning Point, least valuable player of the game, and our players of the game. TSN Turning Point, it's got to be the scoop and score. Dane Evans fumbles. Collins picks it up, puts it in the end zone, gives the Elks the 29-25 lead. There's no other turning point.
Yeah, I don't see how you can go any other way, right? So, like,
that's the TSN turning point of the game, the go-ahead score from the Edmonton Elks, which takes place with a minute 47 left in the fourth quarter. Player of the game, one from each of us, your player of the game.
Oh, Trey Ford, all the way, right? You know, a rookie quarterback steps in there, leads the team in rushing, you know, only threw the one pick. Like the guys on the panel said, you know what, maybe you want to see Darrell Walker fight for that ball a little bit more. But the guy, 159 yards through the air, threw one TD, 61 yards on the ground, and he is the reason why the Edmonton Elks won this football game.
I'm going to go, it's hard to argue with Trey Ford. I'll go defensively, and I'll give some love to Scott Hutter. Free safety, tied for the lead in tackles when it comes to the Edmonton Elks with five. He also forces that fumble, which leads to the game-winning touchdown for the Edmonton Elks. I'll have him as my player of the game. Least valuable player, Jeff.
You know what? I like to give it to quarterbacks, apparently, because I've been kind of doing that the whole season. And I'm going to go with Dane Evans on this one. And I'm going to tell you why. He had a pretty good first half. But when Hamilton needed him in the second half, I don't think he played very sharp. He needed to hold on to that ball with 1:47 left to go. You know, like that, it's simple football. We've been told this our entire lives as people that watch football. When you are at that point in the game, ball security is absolutely everything. And sure, it was a great play by Hutter. There's no disputing that at all. But you know, Dane Evans has to know the situation, and he has to keep that ball. So along with that and the two interceptions and not really getting anything done for Hamilton in the second half, Dane Evans is my least valuable player of the game.
Well, if he goes down in that moment, they then waste 20. It was a minute 47. You waste another 20 seconds. It's a minute 27, maybe 1:25. By the time you're punting, you run the clock down. It's a minute to go.
Well, like, and I don't think the Elks had a timeout, right? Like they used it in the third, I believe.
So that's where I look at it and go, like, that's, you're right. Like, you would love a first down. You want to end the game. But worst case is you want to keep the clock running. You want to keep the ball. Like, just keep it in possession. Because then if you're punting with a minute to go, and maybe even they give up a 2 points there, I doubt it. And then kick off to try to send them a little deeper. I highly doubt they would have done that. But you're punting the ball away with a minute to go. By the time that punt happens, and we've seen the Elks take quite a bit of penalties today when it comes to their special teams. You might have even put them even a little more back because they'd make a mistake. What the Elks are taking to the field with 50 seconds down three. Like, that's just by you dropping that football. And who knows? You might have got a first down on that second down. Ball security is so important. Least valuable player, that's the right way to go.
Well, and we said it, you know, we said it off air, but, you know, like, we'll say it on here, air here as well. And, you know, like, when they were kicking the ball away with one, just under 2 minutes left to go, I don't think either of us really expected them to get the ball back and for them to come down and score and win that game, right? You know, like, yeah, there's a chance. There's always a chance in the CFL, but that was going to be pretty tough, right? You have a rookie quarterback.
The second down was going to be converted.
Yeah, so like when it comes down to it, you know, like that one play really did change the game, and that's why it's the turning point of the game. But you know, like there was just so much there that happened to make it so the Elks could win this game, and it falls on Dane Evans.
A couple more texts I want to get to before I hit the break. Don M says, first time here in the after show. Appreciate all the CFL talk that I hear. Don, appreciate you tuning in. We're here before and after every Elks game right here on TSN at 1260. So Jeff and I will be back next Thursday with a pregame show for you. at 6 o'clock, and then we'll have a post-game show after that game. But we'll be here all year. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And Norman at Combine, 6 o'clocker. Hey, Matt, good game tonight. Keep improving game after game for the Elks. And how about that Yankees-Astros? I just quickly sidetracked to that. They split the series last weekend. I said it with Lotan and Jameson. That worried me. And then this yesterday? The Astros beat the Yankees in a one-game set that they had there. The Yankees are looking good this year, but it worries me that they're not doing it against the Astros. If those two teams meet in the playoffs, I think the Astros will have the Yankees' number. That's what scares me. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But, hey, if we get a best of seven of those two in the playoffs, that'll be fun to get to. He's Jeff Walker. I'm Matt Wanick. The Edmonton Elks, they win their first game of the year. They beat the Ticats 29-25. When we come back here on the Green and Gold post-game show, we'll wrap things up and get you set for next week. He's Jeff Walker. As I said, I'm Matt Wanick. This is Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. The Elks pick up their first win of the season. They do it led by the Canadian quarterback, Trey Ford, on this Canada Day. They win 29-25. Welcome back to the Green and Gold post-game show. Matt Wanick, Jeff Walker with you here. With the one person we haven't talked about in all of this, by the way. The one person we haven't praised yet.
I think I know where you're going
with
this one.
There's one person with the Elks.
And he was spotted.
He was responded today, though.
Yes.
He's turning the things around over there. That's our boy Hernan Salas. Well done to Hernan. His first ever win with the Edmonton Elks in the regular season since he jumped ship to join them. So congratulations, Hernan Salas.
He's hitting the streets of the Hammer hard tonight.
Oh, he's treating the boys out to a good night,
yeah.
I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have some good. When you get a party with Hernan, it's a good time. After a first win with the Edmonton Elks,
yeah.
I bet that's going to be some fun.
In a city that's not even his, like, he can just destroy that town.
Destroy him at Tim Hortons Field,
yeah.
And destroy the town.
You got it.
That's the way Hernan rolls. I'm very happy for him. He's got to be having a good time. So, a nice comeback win for the Edmonton Elks, who today come back from a pretty good deficit. When you think about where they were in this football game, at one point, it was a 22-9 ball game. Midway through the third quarter, in fact, it was a 22-9 ball game, and the Edmonton Elks find a way to come back and tie the game, and they do it at 22. The Ticats take the lead, and the Elks take the lead and don't relinquish it. Ticats struggling those later in the second half, struggling in the third and the fourth quarters, but the Edmonton Elks, the opposite. You know, you think about the 2 weeks games prior, we're going to throw BC out of this, with Saskatchewan and Calgary, they had the leads, and they blew it. Tonight, they found a way to come back and gain the lead and come back and find that victory. So a lot of good things for Chris Jones and this team to really build on as they move forward. And they've had that every week. But I think now with Trey Ford, you could sit there. If you're those players, you could even sit there and look at Trey Ford and go, this guy can do it. This guy with the right development, with the right coaching, with more reps, this is a guy that can help lead them to victories. I think those players, even themselves, have to feel pretty good. The only negative so far about this Canadian Football League week, by the way, I'm probably going to go 0-4 in fantasy. It's just not been my year. And this week has just been completely horrendous. It's just a shame.
You'll get the first overall draft pick next year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I've never missed the playoffs in my league. I've never drafted first overall, and now it's just like I don't even care about winning the league. I just can't draft first overall and finish last. But I'm on pace to finish last, and I need to. Sacramento's going to be having coaching change this week. I'll tell you that much right now.
Someone's getting fired.
Oh, there's going to be some changes in
Sacramento.
There'll
be a new commish on that team.
Commission? There's no commissions of a team. Jeff, come on.
All right, sorry. That was a bit of a stretch there, all right? There'll be a new GM slash coach, all right?
Yeah. There's going to be those changes. Your final thoughts for tonight's game for the Elks?
Honestly, this was one of the best nights I've had, watching the Elks or the Edmonton football team in a really long time, Matt. I've been a fan of this team since I was a little kid, and the Elks went on a really, really hard skid for a really, really long time. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to go out and win the Grey Cup. They might not even win the game this week coming up on Thursday against Calgary, but I will tell you that everything I saw in this game was a positive. I'm excited to see them play next week, and that's something that I'm not sure that I felt for a really, really long time. And so for me, Matt, just that the team made me happy today, that's what I'm going to take out of this victory tonight.
And this is the only time the Edmonton Elks will be meeting the Hamilton Tiger Cats this year. This year with the CFL schedule, things did change a little bit. So they only face the Argonauts once this year, if I'm not mistaken, and that's home to the Argos. They only face the Ticats once this year, and that's on the road. They then will get Montreal with a home and an away, and they will get Ottawa in a home and away. But this is the only meeting that the Edmonton Elks will have with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. It's going to be fun watching Trey Ford now moving forward and seeing what he can do, because first game, first start, there were some mistakes. The wind is a factor. But you also have to think, amped up, a little bit of jitters going in there. And heck, if we look at just game one when he had those two drives against BC to today, he looks night and day different from that even. He didn't look good in that first game. There, you know, his interception was just an utterly horrendous throw. And it wasn't just he underthrew him or something. It was like, if I was trying to throw it, that's how wobbly it looked. But even there, from that game to today, looking better. So there's a player there. I think there's a guy that you can look at and go, let's see what he has the rest of this year, because he could be the future of the Edmonton Elks when it comes to who's behind center.
What do you have to lose, right? Well, like, what do you have to lose?
And at the same time, like, imagine if he is. Imagine if he is the future of this team. At 24 years old, the last time the Edmonton Elks had a starting quarterback that young? Do you have an idea?
I want to say it would have been Tracy Hamm.
Ricky Ray would have been that
young. Ricky Ray
would have been that young. Think about how long
he played. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he came in 2002 was his first year, if I'm not mistaken. And he just retired 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Ricky Ray was in his early 20s. And when he retired, even people were talking, you don't see quarterbacks coming that young and playing anymore. Nathan Rourke would be one of those quarterbacks who right now is coming to this league looking really good. He's only 24 himself.
Well, and let's also add on to the CFL as well, right? You know, like, if you have Rourke playing in BC and you have Ford playing in Edmonton, that's 2 out of 9 teams that have Canadian quarterbacks.
And young. And if this is how they develop, and if they can go on a path of playing, being legit starting quarterbacks, I'm not saying being Ricky Ray in the end and one of the greats of all time, but legit starting quarterbacks. Like, if you're the Elks or even the BC Lions, you're sitting there going, hey, hold on a second. You can have a quarterback here for the next 10 to 12 years. The most important position.
Just don't trade him for Steven Giles.
Let's not go there. You wanted to stay positive today. Let's not go there.
Sorry, I couldn't help it, guys. Sorry.
Next Thursday, the Elks will be taking on the Stampeders. As I mentioned, that'll be a 6 o'clock kickoff show for Jeff and I, as we'll get you set for that Stampeders. A busy day in the city of Edmonton, or for the sports of Edmonton, because Jeff and I will have the pregame show from 6 until 7. Alan Mitchell then will take over, because it's the NHL draft that day. And the Oilers are picking really late. They're picking 29th or whatever it is, and there's a good chance, they'll trade it away or something like that. And who knows what will happen. But Alan Mitchell will have you covered with that. And then once the draft's over, Jeff and I will be back with the postgame show, as we'll have our second Battle of Alberta of the season, and we'll see how the Edmonton Elks respond to, one, they get their victory of this week, and how they respond after playing off a victory, and two, responding to losing to Calgary in that first Battle of Alberta. So it will be a lot of fun to see how the Edmonton Elks respond. I don't know what their practice schedule is going to look like this week, because they play on Thursday. Wednesday would be walkthrough. They'd fly back either today or tomorrow. I'm assuming tomorrow would be a full off day on the Saturday. So I would assume they'd be back on the practice field on Sunday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday would all they'd be get for practice time. And the BC, or the Calgary Stampeders, I should say, they are coming off, or they will be coming off, a bye week. Canadian Football League, by the way, Montreal Alouettes, Saskatchewan Roughriders tomorrow, 5 o'clock, and then Monday we got Winnipeg in Toronto. Elks win 29-25 against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. They win their first game of the year. The Ticats, they're 0-4 on the year. Solid performance all around, mostly from the Edmonton Elks, especially by Trey Ford. Coming up tomorrow on the station, there's two Blue Jays games. You can catch both of them right here on TSN 1260. Sunday, we got the VIP golf show, and then next week, starting with the Nielsen show in the morning, I believe Tom Gazzola is guest hosting, and all week, we'll get you set for that Battle of Alberta. We'll also get you set for NHL draft. As I said, that will be taking place on Thursday. Happy Canada Day to everyone. Jeff and I, we appreciate you tuning in for both the kickoff and the post-game shows. I'm sure you're probably all as happy as Jeff is with the Edmonton Elks getting their first victory. On behalf of Jeff Walker, I'm Matthew Iwanek. Enjoy the rest of your Canada Day. Enjoy your rest of your Canada Day long weekend, and I'll chat with you on Monday.